when you take people on Grand Canyon tours, are they pretty much folks that really want to hear what you have to say, or do you have opportunities to do tours with people that are just extreme skeptics?
Well, most of the people that come on our AIG tours are Christians who want to learn more. But we work with Canyon Ministries, led by Tom Vail, and he has led trips for 30 years. In the first 15, he was an evolutionist and not a Christian. And so he's taught the interpretation of the canyon from both perspectives. As we take people, we show them the lack of erosional features between the layers. Sometimes layers that evolutionists say they're 10 million years missing of time, and yet there's no evidence of any erosion between the two layers.
Right.
We show them folding, where large sections of rock are bent, and the indication is there's no metamorphosis to the rock. You can bend rock under high pressure and temperature, but you change the crystalline structure of the rock. But in these cases, it looks like this whole layer or a series of layers was bent while the sediments were still relatively soft with a lot of moisture in them.
So sort of like the ceramics class, while the clay's still soft, you're bending it around.
That's
shows
right.
You the same.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting.
And another thing that we talk about is the fossils. And the fossils speak of rapid burial and fossilization, because you never see fossilized roadkill.
Right.
Because the animals begin to decay, maggots start appearing, wolves or whatever come and start carrying away part of the carcass, and if the highway department doesn't come, pretty soon that deer will be gone.
I've got to do my radio sticker while I'm reminding everybody what we're doing. I'm David Allen Carmichael. I call this my Faith and Freedom Show, and it kind of heckles people sometime, but I've got my toll-free number, 888-850-1872. You can give your feedback and further this discussion. And I'm talking to Dr. Terry Mortensen. He's a geological historian. That's what he does, is he studies the history of the geology of the planet, and specifically is focusing on certain parts of the United States because he has an opportunity to do some tours and things like that. My premise here, for if you've just tuned in, is I asked Dr. Mortensen about this idea, if there's this huge 8,000 foot on one side, 5,000 plus feet on another side canyon with all this just layers upon layers upon layers of so many hundreds of millions of years of laid out debris, sedimentary rock, and you got this one giant canyon, how come this is the only canyon here? That over the eons, there aren't a whole bunch of other canyons that are evidenced in those layers, and then periodically over an eon or so, got filled in and then worked their way onto the next part of the geological history. So that was the thing that I posed originally, and that's why I asked him to come today, and basically to ask simple man scary questions that I think is just, we can't just keep sipping the Kool-Aid, folks. We've got to pay attention to what's going on, deconstruct what people are telling you, because otherwise you're going to get caught up in the pandemic of dementia that's sweeping North America and the globe right now. Thank you, Dr. Mortensen, for your patience as I got through my little venting there. Before I go on to some other things that you are more familiar with, I do want to talk about this thing where, let me look at her name again, Mary H. Schweitzer, paleontologist at North Carolina State University in Raleigh. She, a few years ago, I think it was 2005, dug up a bone from a Tyrannosaurus rex, took it back to the lab, and they discovered, their friend discovered, that there was collagen, and even more, as they studied it, they found out that it was still in a bone structure. It was not a fossilized rock mineralized structure, but it actually, when doing tests that they used to soften bones of animals, it actually softened up because it was still bone. And as I was studying, as reading about it, it was even showing red blood cells. Their interpretation was, wow, look at all this neat stuff we can learn about the 65 million year old dinosaur. But the problem is the operational science that would measure cell structure would tell them you can't have a cell survive over 50,000 years. Tell us about that, because what you study, and as you said, that tells me there's a presupposition that Dr. Schweitzer is clinging to and actually rejecting the kind of physical science that's measurable and observable and things like that. So just give me some feedback on that.
Well, the reason is because the millions of years is considered proven scientific fact. It cannot be questioned. And so rather than question that, we have to question, well, I guess there is a way these soft tissues and these blood cells that we previously thought all the scientific evidence would indicate, these can't survive slow processes of degradation over long periods of time. I guess they can. And so it's the millions of years idea is locked in science. 2 + 2 = 4. The Earth is millions of years old. The dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago. Can't question that. And so we'll question something else.
Yeah, and my problem with that, even what you said, we can actually observe, today, 2 + 2 = 4. But what she came up with was the 2 + 2 in chemical biology equals what she's not saying. You know, effectively, she cannot come up with a 65 million year date on the basis of what really works with living tissue. You know, I haven't heard much about that. I think it's a fabulous story, because really what it suggests is if they took, what are those guys? There's like a TV show. Is it CSI or something like that, where they got some guys that supposedly the forensic scientists and stuff? If you send in a forensic scientist instead of somebody who's charting billions of years on a graph, you know, that's made up by men, by their imaginations. If you took a forensic scientist in there and said, okay, could you figure out how long ago this Tyrannosaurus Rex died? What's the maximum? And in fact, you know, what is the absolute maximum that it could have been killed by some murderer and still have soft tissue? I guess the math is ultimately would be no more than, no older than 50,000 years. It confounds me that that's what happens. And of course, my listeners right now have never heard what I just said. And I think I hope I've said it in such a way that, you know, I'm not a PhD. I checked out of high school early so I wouldn't have to keep going to it. But it's kind of your simple man logic. I can understand simple English. What are the kind of things that when you're talking to people that are the typical thing that they think, not just, oh, the Earth's millions of years old, but typical things that they think are the proof of it? That you think that you can actually poke holes in?
Well, one of them, David, that is very common and actually was a key point in the development of this whole millions of years idea back in the 19th century, is another assumption, and it is this. Let me state it real simply, and then I'll expand on it a little bit. That the absence of evidence is the evidence of absence. Here's the expanded version. They said, look, we don't find any human fossils buried with extinct creatures in the fossil record. That is proof that humans didn't live at the same time as the extinct creatures. Because the absence of fossil evidence in the layer where the extinct creatures are means that there weren't any humans living at the time that that layer was deposited. That is a fundamental assumption of geology today. And so that's why they say there were no human beings at the time of the dinosaurs, because there are no human fossils buried in the rock layers where the dinosaurs are found. But that is a demonstrably false assumption, that the absence of evidence is the evidence of absence or non-existence. One of the examples is what are known as living fossils. These are creatures that the evolutionists thought had gone extinct millions of years ago, because as they came up through the rock record, there was a place where we didn't find the fossils above that layer coming up to the surface. And then they found that creature living in today's world. And so they call it a living fossil, because they say, well, I guess it wasn't extinct all those years, but there's no fossil evidence that it was in those layers.
Right.
But that just shows that the absence of evidence, fossil evidence for a creature in a particular layer, does not mean that the creature was not alive at the time the layer was deposited.
Wow, that's a good point. And I will say, you know, I hear some anecdotal things, I haven't seen them, where there's some evidence that, hey, here's a dinosaur track. Coincidentally, there's a human track. But what happens is it's being rejected as a hoax, or I don't know what, you know, an intrusion of some
point.
Sort.
most leading creationists who've investigated those claims do not feel that they're persuasive, at least here at Answers in Genesis and the Institute for Creation Research.
So you don't lean on it. You kind of leave it alone and say, well, it doesn't really matter in the long run whether it's there or not. They'll probably find more. I will tell you, I was in getting my tire changed. Common man get their tire changed once in a while. And I picked up Popular Mechanics, of all things, and they show this wonderful javelin, this perfectly balanced, incredibly well-made javelin that they found under a coal seam. And instead of saying in this article, it was kind of like instead of just debunking their whole theory about coal and how it formed and where man is in accordance to these eons and stuff, they were actually did adjust their timeline of man to 400 million years older. They were suggesting it because they found a javelin under the coal. Now, to me, the biblical perspective, I should be able to forecast that. If all this beautiful global greenhouse gets smushed up and buried and turned into fossil fuels and things like that, there very well may be some time, if you dig long enough, you're going to come up with that, with the guy's javelin under the coal seam. I just stumbled on that on Popular Mechanics. Where's that in the mainstream journals? It's not there.
Well, those kinds of things have to be investigated to make sure that the geological situation was accurately described. And so I can't comment for sure on that particular situation. But the evolutionary geologists and paleontologists are constantly finding creatures deeper in the rock record than they previously thought. And so then they have to adjust. Oh, I guess that creature didn't come into existence 110 million years ago. It was 180 million years ago. And they're constantly finding creatures in layers that they didn't think were there before.
Okay, and I'm going to approach this. I appreciate your time because really you're kind of a sounding board. I sound these things off myself. And so what I'm going to do is I'm sounding it off you right now while we're on the air so people as they're driving by and tuning in from 3 to 5 p.m., they can tune in and say, this is really weird, but they're going to have to listen and have to think about it later.